This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Houston now. Let's check in our good friend John Littleton, see what he's up to this morning. John, what's up?
Hey, good morning, sir. Not a whole heck of a lot. Just sitting here hanging out, listening to the show.
Well, not much else to do this time of morning.
No, just sit here, drink some coffee. You know, I try to sleep in sometimes, Mickey, but, you know, it's hard to do for me. But I got to get up, get moving around. Always something to do, it seems like. So, you know.
Man, on Mondays, if I'm not fishing, man, I can sleep. Oh, my goodness. After coming off these 4 days, I get hard. Boy, I can sleep like a Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah. Little chilly up on the north side this morning. I got 49 in my truck. Yeah. I came out. I don't have good reception in the house, so I come out and sit in my truck and I turned on the seat warmer this morning. Feels pretty good.
I turned my steering wheel warmer on and my seat warmer this morning when I got in the truck.
Yeah.
I warm up faster than the heater does.
I know it.
Instant heat.
Yeah. It's all good. I mean, it'll have them deer moving around a little bit more, I think, you know. So
right.
You know, been seeing some pictures come through on the trail cameras, and I don't know, we're going to go tomorrow and see if we can put one on the ground, you know. But you know how it is, Mickey. It's I don't know. I'm sure it is for a lot of people. You see all these pictures, and you got them patterned, you think, and you go sit in a stand, and what the heck happens? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, or you see deer, just, you know, we always see deer. It's just not the right one or not the one we're looking for, you
right.
know. Then you get in your truck and start driving home or go to the camp and sit there, and up pops up a picture, you know. So, yeah. But that's how it goes. Oh, well. Same thing with fishing. You know, you go down I've done it plenty of times. You go down a boat dock or something, and, you know, you just got it. You're going to catch them and nothing, and then your buddy pulls in behind you and catches one, you know. So
yeah. I know.
Off the same dock. So, yeah, it's always something like that. But now I'm going to clean out my boat today and take it down to the shops. Nothing wrong with it. I always take it in, get some maintenance done, you know, have them check it out and change the lower unit oil and hook it up to the laptop, and make sure everything's good, and, you know, just general stuff, you know.
I know.
But got to get it done. Get ready for...
Bust out another thousand.
There you go. There you go. I mean, you know, it's... But, you know, I'd rather do that than pay $5,000, you know, after it breaks.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, I'd rather try to keep it up. And, you know, with us running, you know, tournaments, you know, it's you need that thing up running good and everything working good. So, you know, everything's got to be right. You don't want to be down during, you know, tournament time.
Yeah, or during
your boat
fish run. Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I know we were talking about that a couple of days this week, a couple of buddies of mine, about, you know, man, we always look forward to that, you know, end of February, March, April, when them big old bass get up on them cypress trees out there at Lake Houston, you know, and you can...
Right.
You know, you can do real good out there, you know, go out there and catch them. And, you know, they're, the pattern is just find you a little pocket and go fish it, because they all have cypress trees. And that's predominantly where we catch all of our spawning fish, you know, is on cypress trees. Mm. They get down in them old cypress roots and all that stuff down there. And, you know, you can catch them. I mean, you know, some of them are easy to catch, but some of them, you know, you gotta work for them to get them to bite. But, you know, we got a few little areas out there that we tend to, you know they're there, and when they're there over a period of time, you know, you can figure it out. You know, I was talking to a guy that he started listening to the show a while back. He's kind of new in the area, and he wants to fish Lake Houston next year. And, you know, like I told him, I said, man, just, you know, it's like anything, you know, just get out there and go fish. You know, I can tell you some areas to go.
The best way is to fish it out yourself. You learn it, you know,
yeah.
You learn your patterns and spots and, you know.
Right. Right, and you know, that's what you got to do. It's like with a lot of stuff in life, you know, you got to get out there and just go do it, you know, and that's how you learn. Hey, you might make a mistake or something, but again, that's how you learn, you know. So, but no, Dad, and I, you know, I don't know what it is, Mickey, but I'm sure you guys run into it too in saltwater, but. I don't know, like I go through and just clean out my boat. I mean, take everything out of it, and I'll find stuff that I've been looking for, and you know, I'll find I found a brand new Academy bag in my boat, and had about 6 or 8 crankbaits, a couple bags of worms, and I knew I had it, but I just couldn't find it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think our boats are a lot worse than a woman's purse. I really do.
Oh, God, yeah, it is. I know mine is.
Last week, I went through my boat and cleaned it out, and I found 2 fillet knives I've been looking for. Well, I don't ever clean many fish anymore, but I knew I had 2 brand-new fillet knives, and I looked all over my tackle room, the house. I said, what did I do with them? Well, I found them in the boat, naturally.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, that's as bad as me. I lost my fillet knife blades, you know, for my electric fillet knife for cleaning catfish and whatever, you know. And I'd end up going and buying a new fillet knife because I couldn't find the blades. And then I found the blades. They were at the camp, up at Deer Lease, because I'd brought my fillet knife up there and, you know, we caught a few fish and filleted them and cooked them there at the, you know, at the trailer. And then, you know, I got home and had my fillet, but didn't have the blades. But so now I got one at each, you know, we make it easy.
Got to have a backup. Sure.
Yeah. 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 I'm a big crankbait hook changer. You know, I mean, I change my hooks on my crankbaits a lot.
Right.
Especially when I'm fishing, you know, and a lot of people don't realize it, but, you know, you start wiggling those hooks around with needle nose pliers trying to get the hooks out of the fish's mouth, and, man, you weaken those things a lot. And
yeah, especially,
you know,
when you bend one and you turn it back with the pliers, you know, bend it back into position, the more you know that happens, the weaker it gets, and they'll break on you. They really will.
Yep, they do, and a lot of the, you know, I say a lot, there's a few crankbaits that I buy, you know, that they don't have the best hooks on them in the world, you know, so, you know, I'll, you know, a lot of times I'll open a package and, you know, before I tie the bait on, I take the hooks off and change them. You know, it's just, you know, it's probably a mental thing for me, but, you know, I'm sure those hooks that were on there would go out and catch fish. But, you know, it's just a mental thing for me. I like those, you know, good, you know, hooks on there. So, you know, and I'm a big hook sharpener too, even on my worm hooks. You know, I keep a little small, you know, file in my boat, and I hit them things, you know, after I catch a fish or two, or I always just, you know, take my thumb and run it across the point. And, you know, I don't feel it sticking like I want it to feel. So I'll take my little file and hit those points. You know, you need to have, you know, a really good sharp point on those bass. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the trout and everything else, man, it's hard to get a good hook set in those things and get it buried in there. You know,
yeah, especially
you think
if
you do,
a bone or something in the mouth and the mouth area, like the roof of the mouth
right.
on the trout. That's, you got to depend on that skin lining the roof of their mouth to hold that hook, you know, because you can't penetrate the bone through there. And it's always better to hook a trout in the jaw. That's probably the best place to hook one. And I've got a little, you know those little black, they're about 6 or 8 inches long. It's a Berkeley line stripper, you know, for stripping line off the reel. Well, it has a sharpening stone on the top of it.
Right. And,
man, that thing works real good and fast, you know, like for a worm hook or a jig head, you want to, you know, get that point real needle-like where you can get that penetration, especially in redfish. You know, that's real key. You can get by with a semi-dull hook with a trout, because of their soft mouth and tissue, but redfish, you want some sharp hooks, just like a bass. Same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to be able to, you know, get that penetrated down below that barb, you know, and, you know, that one fish that you might have jump off and lose, you know, could cost you, you know, a tournament or two, you know,
always.
Because you're getting a check or not, you know. So
seen that a million times. Man, the big one got away.
Yeah, if I'd only had caught that fish or landed that fish, how many times have we said that and heard that? You know, thousands. Yeah.
That's
or, you know, I could have won if.
Could have, should have, would
have. Yeah. Yeah, I could have killed that big buck if I'd have just stayed in the stand another hour, you know?
Right.
But, it's, you know, it's all good. We, you know, we love the outdoors, and we love getting out there and doing it. And, you know, we're, you know, I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can, you know, so I keep telling my granddaughter, you know, I said, hey, you just remember this when I can't, you know, have a hard time getting up and down and going, you know, that's why I'm training and teaching you, so you can take me next time, you know.
Hey,
so
if I end up in a wheelchair, I'm still going, man. I'll figure out a way to get there.
Oh, yep. Oh, I know it. I know
it. Well,
works. I'll do it. Yeah. That's
don't ever quit. Keep going.
No, that's that's my drug of choice, you know,
yes.
is being outdoors.
I'm
so
you,
a lot
brother.
Of people have a lot worse, you know, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, I guess the way we were born and raised and grew up, and I try to instill that in, you know, everybody that I can, you know, just go
and
out and get you
what
some.
What we do and our enjoyment is not for everybody, but,
no,
it just, it's just a way of life with us. I mean, that's just, it's what we do. It's our enjoyment. Other people have other hobbies, but, sure is hard to be
yeah.
outdoor hobbies. It really is.
It is. It
way
is.
Way of life. Passion.
It's work. It's work, but it's sure a lot of fun and enjoyment. And,
yeah, it is.
You know.
I wouldn't have it any
yeah.
other way. All right, brother.
Nope.
Well, I got to run, John. If somebody wants to call you, give them your number so they can get a hold of you, man.
Sure, they can call me. We're getting ready for next year, so we've got our schedules up here in a little bit. But they can call me on my cell at 281-222-8544.
All
Just
right,
give me a call.
Well, your granddaughter or you, either one, gets you that big buck this weekend. You can know my number. Send me a photo. I love him, dear.
Oh, bitch. I will.
All right, brother.
Yeah. All right, later.
See you, John, later. All right, it's time for a break. We'll be right back.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 520 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City and check in with our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont, Texas City Dyke, and Boyd's One Stop. Good morning, Dave. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mick here. Should have said Captain Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, that's no rest for the weary, baby. What's going on?
I hope you get a couple of good nights sleep after this
Already
run here.
Did. I'm doing good.
All right. This is good sleeping weather. You can leave the windows or get the windows up or down, however you want to say it, and let that wind blow in and get nice.
I'm with you.
We're looking at 65 degrees, and that's right here on the coast where things are warmer. With the water temperature probably being almost 10 degrees higher, it's
right.
But my goodness, it's a very, very nice, it's a beautiful morning. That moon is so bright, and you said a while ago, it's not even full yet, but it's
98%. That's about as full as you can get it, except for 99%,
yeah.
So I'll call
I don't
it
think
full.
I could. I can't hardly tell the difference looking up at it. I think it might just have just the tiniest little pinch out of it. But it's beautiful. I mean, it looks like we got a little nor'easter. I think we got some east into that wind, a whole bunch of it, actually.
Yeah, it's northeast. Not, is it starting to get fairly windy there on the dike now?
Well, you know, if you look at the flags, it is. But out there at the end, I just came in from a cruise out to the end and back, and Of course, I'm not sitting in a small boat out there, but it doesn't look too bad from the boat ramp, and plenty of water still, so I think it's going to be okay. I think it's only going to get better, and I think the weatherman says it's going to warm back up before it starts getting really cool, and man, I'm looking forward to that.
Well,
it's going to be,
I'm showing us northeast at 13 where you're at.
Well, I made my way back in. I'm on the back end of Boyd's right now, and the flags are indicating that. Sometimes it's hard to tell because we're on this side of the hump of Skyline Drive, and it can be really deceiving. Sometimes it'll actually lie and give you – the flags will tell you if the wind's coming from a little bit of a different direction, but from out there on the water, it kind of looked like it had a pretty good east kick to it, so I think – that's probably it in a nutshell. But I had to crack up a while ago, Mickey, when I was listening. I heard that commercial. I hadn't heard it before with that old guy that was talking. I feel like going down today and buying me a timeshare just so I can get that guy who's not a lawyer, who don't look like a lawyer. he don't want to be a lawyer, and he don't sound like a lawyer. But I was cracking up. My daughter is a lawyer. I feel like cutting that little strip out of the podcast. Well, I don't think the ads come up on the podcast, but anyway, get that little clip and send it to her because I'd be able to hear her teeth gritting because she is a lawyer and sounds like a lawyer and looks like a lawyer. That's pretty good. That's a good catchy commercial, but timeshares. I've never had one, and I don't think I'm going to get one for it.
No, I'd recommend not doing that. It's, I've never heard anybody come out good on one.
Yeah. A couple of guys at work was always trying to get us to invest in one of their week or 2 week blocks because they weren't able to go, but it's just one of those things. It's always something. But as far as the Texas City Dyke and what's been going on, it's been a nice week. You know, we've just had some great weather, and I think it's going to get chilly. It's going to liven things up a bit. Quite a few reports of flounder being caught and released, and some with some very good size, which right now, Mickey, as you well know, this is what we'd kind of call the pretty much where our run's kicking in, and I think it is. We won't see a lot of it in terms of fishing reports, but there's some big flounder going by, and a couple of fellows I know are getting out there and catching a few just to do it, and maybe grab a picture if they've got a personal best, and ease them babies back in the water so they can go wherever they go to do their thing to make babies. So I'm hoping that the flounder population's on the increase, and things will get as good as the redfish population one day. That would be nice.
And yes.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'd let us keep a couple again during that time. But
oh, no.
It's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen. It's
another bull red run still on. Everybody's still catching bull reds.
So oh yeah.
A long time this fall.
Yeah, it's been an excellent run for bull reds. Of course, now with things, I think it's a very healthy population in our area for reds year round in terms of catches. Or so, if you know where to go, of course you can catch them old slot reds like crazy on good days, and then the bull reds are just a live crab or you know, a fresh dead crab or a mullet or a chunk of croaker or pinfish or anything. You can wrestle your bull red almost year round. It gets slow, of course, during the dead of winter, but about that time them big old uglies, big black drum, start rolling in, and so if you want to tussle, you can do it if you come out either to the dyke or the jetties along Galveston, or even up into your neck of the woods up there. A whole bunch of big old uglies are roaming that bay up around Trinity and such. So there's always something that could tug on. We had a little bit of a croaker run this year. There's still a couple of people out there this morning I saw were geared up for trying to catch some of the last of the what we'll call a croaker run. So things are very well here on the Texas City Dyke front. And I think there'll be some sheephead reports coming in pretty soon as so many of them are caught along the jetties, especially coming up this time of year when the water gets cooler and such. And that's just about it as far as a fishing report goes.
Well, how's your bait situation and table fare, shrimp, and all that? What's going on with that?
I walked into good old Boyd's One Stop before I headed out to the end of the dike to see what's going on. And they had, as I mentioned a while ago, the flags flying. They've got live mullet. They got live mud menace, live shrimp on the live bait. And then all the good dead stuff, shrimp, squid, shad, everything with an S. And so they got everything lined up pretty well for that. We're still just sitting here and hoping that things will keep going in a positive way. The things that we're hearing in terms of crawfish, it seems like...
Yeah, I keep hearing it's going to be an early season this year. We went from hardly any crawfish last year. It was, you know, supply-wise, and now looks like it's going to be a banner and early season. That'd be nice.
With what we had last year in comparison, just about anything would be better. I almost hate to say that, but it's boy, I hate for it to be worse, and they'd all blame it on me.
Yeah, I'd
for
rather
saying it, but I think
report about it and have them flood the market than just tell them, oh, it's going to be awesome, and then not get any. I know
yeah,
the drill.
The pictures that I'm getting now from Jason and other folks are pictures of either the mamas or the daddies. I don't even know which, but one of them's carrying these babies, and they're just like, oh, you know, these big old spiders that'll have their babies crawling all over them. It's just like that. Those crawfish will have literally hundreds and hundreds of these little baby crawfish underneath
right.
the tail, stacked up as thick as cordwood, you know. So they won't be long. I'm sure they'll be dropping off and eating their way into their demise if they get
yes.
big enough. So we hope so anyway.
Well, they grow pretty quick. They're kind of like crabs. How's crab supply? I mean, y'all still getting some pretty blues down there?
Yes. All week long. Well, with the exception of yesterday, I didn't hear too much, but all the early week, we just had a glut of crabs. And
yeah.
So with that, we've had some real good sales for the big number ones and also for the medium large number twos. And then they were cleaning a whole bunch of them, Mickey, and rolling them over to the grill. And they've had, I think, and they're still running that special on what they call these crab fingers, you know, the big claws,
yeah.
Broken down and fried. So they've had some good deals on crab claws and crab cakes and just about even the barbecue crabs. They've had some specials where you can get a taste of each. So you can go a la carte, just buy the crab claws by each, or you can get a combo meal and just go crab crazy. So the crabs have been, it's been good, and hopefully it'll stay that way for a while, but that's pretty much it. Got you covered. Of course, the grill's got all the other goodies with good old greasy cheeseburgers and all that other stuff.
The cardiac burger,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, man, yeah. You got to hold that napkin down there by your elbow because
that
grease is running out.
Oh, yeah, put a bib on when you're eating one of those juicy boogers, man. I remember that day you and I ate one, and I'm going, man, this is like old
yeah,
times
well,
here.
It's time to treat our arteries to another one, Mickey. We'll have to catch up.
I know, we need to get together
really
and have a burger.
We'll do it. But we're at 227 Dyke Road. That's Boyd's One Stop. 409-945-4001. Still open 24 hours, and the grill's open from 11 until 8 p.m. So with that, I'll bid you a fine weekend.
24 hours. Well, we usually tone it back and go to just daylight hours only, or day hours.
If it starts getting really nasty weather-wise,
right.
If it starts getting really cold and it kind of shuts down the live bait, the live shrimp and such, if that happens this season, we'll probably trim the hours back. Now, last year, man, we were open 24 hours, a whole bunch, and
y'all,
it could happen
really
again.
Y'all really were.
But we'll keep everybody posted on that. Go to Facebook and on Boys One Stop, and when we've got something going on that's different, we're sure to post it, and anything else that comes along. But feel free to call the number and wade through the recording and probably find out what you're looking for.
That'll work. Yeah, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Absolutely.
Always.
And yeah.
All right.
That fills the parking lot up when we mention it. Captain Mickey sent
That'll
you.
Work,
they
man.
Just come rolling in. Yeah.
All right, Dave. Well, hey, it's always fun talking to you. I'll check in with you next week, and you have a good weekend, and we'll roll on from there.
Okay, buddy. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Boys One Stop, thanks you. Jason, thanks you. Take care.
Likewise. See you, buddy. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Mr. Dave Fremont down at Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dike. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. It's 5:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down G-Town Way and check in with our good friend, Captain Steve Hillman, and see what he's up to. Good morning, Steve. What's up?
Good morning.
How you doing, brother?
Man, just living in a dream world.
Yeah, I know it.
Sometimes I just have to pinch myself.
I know. You got it made in the shade, baby.
It's real. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm kicking like a chicken. Good to go.
There you go. That's good. Little chilly. It's 48 here at the house.
Yeah, it was what did I see on my thermometer on my truck coming in? 49 when I went over Cedar Bayou. That was pretty cool,
yeah.
I thought. It's warmer on the coast
good.
Though. You know, I just talked to Dave down there at Tech City, and I think, what did he say, 65 on the dike?
Yeah, it's amazing the difference.
Yeah,
I'm not that
warm
far.
Water, keeping it warm.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. And my trigger finger's itching a little bit this morning. I'm ready to get to the ranch.
Thinking about that too. You know, man, I'm about ready to make a duck hunt. I may have to do that next week.
We saw a lot of birds this week. Most I've seen.
Yeah.
While we're fishing, yeah, I stayed in Galveston all week and. Fished here and saw some of course been seeing some groups of teal, but I saw one group of pintails one morning, saw some gadwall, and then we saw a big group of, man, I think they're redheads. They're some kind of divers.
I saw a couple of big groups of redheads on Trinity the other day.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't get to the back till later, so I missed all the flights in the morning, you know, the teal and
gotcha.
Stuff like that, because
gotcha.
I couldn't get up there with that northeast wind. Well, I could have, but I didn't want to get beat up.
I know. That's
a long ride when you turn the corner, man. That northeast wind's blowing right down your throat.
Oh, man. I've done it many times. Come out of Tabs, make that corner, and you're like, oh, my God. And sometimes you turn around and you go tuck away and have to stay up there. But if you can make it, you got it. But
yeah,
the other option is drive all the way to Fort Anahuac Park, which, you know, I don't know. I haven't done that. I haven't put in there in probably 3 years.
Well,
if not more.
I'll tell everybody all they need to know right there.
Oh, man. But now, yesterday we canceled, and one of the areas I'm catching some fish, wading, and I had waders yesterday. But
yeah.
One there we're fishing. I speaking of getting somewhere, we could have fished there, but I'd have played hell getting there, you know.
Yeah.
With that wind, it was puffing yesterday morning. It was.
Yeah, it was. So you fished yesterday?
No, I canceled. So I was saying we could have fished if I could have gotten there, but I didn't know. I'm in a borrowed boat right now. And, hell, even if I'd have been in my whaler, I don't know if I'd have tried it, but I just, I'd had to cross a lot of water to get there. And it was northeast. It was, when I got up yesterday morning, it was north, northeast at 23. That's a little much.
Yeah.
But no, it was, same story with me. It was back and forth, you know, 50-50 type week for me. Drifting was not good. Wading was real good mm-hmm. for me. And, you know, going back to last, I guess, Sunday, Dutch Duckett and his family. And, well, I talked to you that morning, and we got a real late start because I tried to put in at Waterman's that morning, and I didn't feel like filling my truck up with water. So the tide was so high from that storm out in the Gulf, I guess. And we sat there and contemplated what our next move was going to be, if we're even going to try it. And we ended up putting in an office, and hadn't put in there in forever. But and we didn't, man, I don't think we started fishing until like, 7:45 or something like that, because we had a long run from there. And we caught a million pencils at him and his two sons and one of their girlfriends, and you know, drifting around, and pretty stiff little wind, but I think we caught 60-70 fish. But and we all had 8 keepers, and that was the trout and reds and everything combined. It wasn't any good, you know. We had fun, they had fun, but and then I'm coming in, and man, I'm probably 400 yards from the boat ramp, looking at the boat ramp, and I shut her down a little bit, you know, got off the plane, and my motor sounded real funny. It was kind of shaking. Uh-oh. And anyway, blew that one up, so I've been in a borrowed boat ever since.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but
welcome to the guide business.
Yeah, it's just, I swear, we talked about it the other day, man. Right when you think you're on top of the world, you're like, man, this isn't so bad. You know, I'm making a decent living, and then bam, there goes the motor. But
one disaster just, away from bankruptcy, man.
I promise you. I was talking to James the other night, because he tried to talk me out of, this is, 2001, 2002, when I was contemplating becoming a fishing guide, and James and I were fishing together. I think we were in Baffin, and I had some customers from the seafood business, and I brought it up or something, and he said, "You're an idiot. If you think you're going to be a fishing guide and make a good living, you're just stupid." He tried every way he could to talk me out of it. And I told him I'd not. I said, "Why didn't I listen to you?" but But no, we're still okay. It's par for the course, man. There's no perfect profession, you know. But I love my clients. I got a bunch of regulars, and we're all buddies, and it's, you know, still fun. You just got to deal with a few of the hardships every once in a while. But now I'm borrowing a boat from Lance Fenson, one of my good customers down in Matagorda, and thank God for that. But trying to figure all these gadgets out. He's got a bow mount trolling motor with an iPilot, and there's one of those. I think it's called an iPilot, right?
Yeah.
So we're drifting. I've been wade fishing. The other day we're drifting, and I put it down, and I'm hitting every button. I'm like, this damn thing won't come on, and I had to call him. I think something's wrong with your troll motor. And he said, "Well, did you turn the switch on underneath the console?" And I said, "Oh, there's a switch for that." And anyway, it's so embarrassing, but I got it all figured out now. I'll have my boat here in about.
Yeah, you're probably like a one-legged duck, you know.
You get so used to your
Yeah, get used to that stick, and then you got the remote thing. And
Yep. But I do like that power pole. But, you know, that iPilot's nice. Like I said, we've only drifted one time in it. We've been waiting, but it's nice. But we were in some wind the other day and had a couple guys, and you click the deal to hold you in place. Well,
spot lock.
Yeah, spot lock, yeah. And I don't know how to avoid it, but the bow, you know, the stern swings around to the downwind side, and so everybody has to switch to the back of the boat, right? I mean, I guess that's how it works. And there's no way to avoid that, is there?
Well, not in spot lock. It's going to hold the bow into the wind and the current.
Yeah, so to me, if you got...
And then you just got to...
Yeah, but if you have guys, multiple guys, that doesn't do you a hell of a lot of good. If it's just you or one guy, you know, I don't know. It's a different deal. I'm not used... I like all my old World War II stuff that I have in my whaler. But anyway, fishing's been decent. It's been
well.
It's
when you
been
got a boatload of guys, I mean, there's only one way to really hold a boat is just manually do it, and then keep the bow, you know, either left or right with, you know, either your port or starboard side into the wind where everybody can throw downwind.
Yeah, and that's what I had to do. I mean, we just got on a few fish. We had already caught a bunch wading, and right. Then we went and drifted. We're trying to catch some reds, and Rusty ended up catching another nice trout, and we caught some dinks. I caught one throwback red, but yeah, I think the best way, just put the drift sock off the, in this boat, you got to put it kind of near the bow, because it's the whole design.
That drift straight and true?
No, sir. It just drifts kind of bow forward, like a lot of these hull designs, but now, so that was Sunday with Dutch and them, and Monday I had to do boat stuff, because I didn't have a boat. I had to go round one up and drop my other one off. And yeah. Tuesday, I don't even remember what. I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday I had I had Rusty and Frank on Tuesday, and it was blowing a little bit, but we went and waited a couple of spots. And first spot we jumped out wasn't that good. We caught, I think, two or three, and then we made a long move down the shoreline and popped seven or eight more. They're all good fish. Mm-hmm. But they just weren't really doing anything, and the wind really wasn't just right for there. And we caught 10 at the first spot, and just fishing some guts, and no shell or anything, just kind of silt bottom and guts and structure along the shoreline. And then left there and went to an area where I caught a few the other day, a lot of dinks. And we got out there, and, man, it was really slow to start with, and I was actually getting ready to leave, and the guys were Rusty and Frank had their fly rods, and they were like light years from me. And I said, well, hell, I can't even get in there to pick them up. You know, right. They're going to have to walk way out here to the boat. And so I just kept walking down the shoreline because I didn't have anything else to do. And I walked into a patch of decent trout up to 22 inches, and we ended up catching, and then I called them over. We ended up catching 17 nice trout right there, and a bunch of dinks. And then Frank caught a 27 inch red on a fly rod on his.
Oh, that was the guy in the picture you sent me with the fly rod. Yeah, that was a really pretty photo. I mean, the sun, the light, everything. Man, that red was real bronze. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah, that was a great shot. I actually texted that one to Everett Johnson. He had similar comments that you did. It was funny. I can't repeat it on the radio.
Well, we won't go there.
Oh, man. But that was an awesome.
Leave that for everybody's imagination.
Yeah. That morning started out slow, but, man, it ended up being just awesome. And he caught on some kind of little shrimp pattern fly. And then Wednesday I had Rusty again, and he brought one of his customers, Ken, and we went straight to that second stop and got there early, and we started catching immediately, and it was and we caught 19 trout right there, but that size dropped a little bit. I mean, they were just, they went from 17 to 22 inch trout to 15 and a half to 18 inch trout, you know, and a lot of little males mixed in. It's just weird how it changed overnight.
Yeah.
And a lot of throwbacks. I don't know how many fish we caught. It was insane. 60, 70, I don't know. And we caught 19 there, and then Rusty pulled off the trout early because it got calm Wednesday, and so he went fly fishing. He went back in some of the same areas where Frank caught that red, and man, he was throwing a little popper and stuff, and he had some blow-ups and swirls and spin-outs and all that kind of stuff, but never hooked up. And I love watching it. And I like to fly fish too, but I just love watching these guys do that deal. It's pretty cool. But we pulled out of there, I guess, about 10:30, then went to an area. I tried to put them on a few reds, and that's when we started drifting. I actually tried to wade this area, and that was I stepped off the ladder. I said, y'all don't even put your wading belts on. I said, this is either going to be like sticky shell or mud that you sink up to your thigh in, and it was the ladder. I mean, I stepped down, and my right knee went damn near. I mean, it mud went almost up to my knee, and I said, no, we're not waiting here. So we drifted it, and then Rusty caught another nice trout. We ended up with 20 trout, a bunch of dinks, one throwback red, and we caught 7 flounder that morning, and 3 of them were doormats. I mean, like big flounder, 4 to 5 pound flounder.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, I haven't caught any big flounder. I've been catching a lot of little flounder, but...
No, I've been hearing about a lot of males. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody catch a pie plate or a semi-doormat, but for the most part, yeah, that's good stuff. Man, I got to run. I'm already out of time, buddy. I wish you the best. And somebody wants to come fishing with you this winter, give them a number where they can reach you.
Yeah, man, 409-256-7937.
All right, Steve. Always good talking to you, man, and I'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
All right, I appreciate it, Mickey.
Fish on. Later.
All right, see you.
All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.